Where we are going to take on this title of No Mercy is with this. When something is happening, when you believe that you are restricted by the way, I love that y'all are sitting in the front seat today. This is so cool. Usually you leave me alone up here. Thank you for coming to the front of the room. Thank you. Little ADD this morning, sorry. So when something's coming up, when you have an idea that has limited you, when you think that you're not enough, and I did some research for some stories, except if I tell you all the stories I found, I won't have time to give you a lesson. And I want to make this a lesson today. But one of the people that just rang out at me, and some of you have seen him, you've probably seen YouTubes on this gentleman, who was born in Australia, and I don't remember his last name, Nick somebody. He was born with no arms and no legs. Have you seen videos of this man? Like, do you and I have a right to complain about anything? Anything. Not when you see this man in action. Not when you see him talking to schools and to children. And his quote is that it is such a lie if you think you're not worthy. I'm getting chills just thinking about him. It is a lie if you think you're not worthy. All right, so you got stuff. Who doesn't have stuff? It's the rising above the stuff. That's our job. That's who we are, and that's what we propagate here. We propagate that in our practices, in the education, everywhere. Hopefully everywhere. Hopefully that's what you walk away with every Sunday, is a sense that I can. You know, the sense that I can. And yeah, I mean that really is our job. And the way we This demographic right here is a little odd for me, because as the years have rolled on, the center, this is the most amount of new people that I've ever seen that are not in classes. There's a lack of enrollment, which I'm curious about, and I'd like some feedback about after the service, not now. I'd like to know what that's about. Now, I know we had some price increases. I want to know if it's that. If not, I want to know how come we haven't hooked your attention. Because I'm telling you, and then I'm going to tell you again, the transformation of your life happens in the classroom. You get the skill set in the classroom. You make friendships in the classroom. You become transformed in the classroom. This is fun. This is fun. You sing, you dance, you're up, yeah, you hug and kiss, yeah, lovely. And it pumps you up. It pumps you up. I'm sure it carries you from one week to the next. But in the dark moment, sometimes you don't quite acquire all the skills necessary. And so really the thing I want to talk to you about today is this single most important tool that we use here, and the only tool that our prayer practitioners use. What is it? Treatment. Spiritual mind treatment. Now, I know many of you have been in class, so yes, this is going to be a review for some of you, and I'm not going through all the steps of it specifically. However, I am willing to give you, I'm going to give you a form today, those of you who have never been in the classroom, and my granddaughter, who's here, Bree, who's moved here from Florida to Brooklyn. We'll have them at the end of the service, and she'll hand them out to you if you care for one. These are the steps of treatment as we lay it out. Now, we still call it steps mostly out of a habit. The truth is, when Ernest Holmes developed religious science and spiritual mind treatment, it was his answer to conventional religion. See, the way he set up the steps and the reasons he did it the way he did it was he was trying to undo the dogma. He was trying to undo the temptation to place power outside. And so he created a system. Now, depending on what minister you speak to, what center you go to, they say there's 3 steps, there's 5 steps, there's 7 steps, there's 9 steps. I don't know what the 9 are. But I do use a 7-step treatment, and this is a very simple way of creating a spiritual mind treatment for you, and it has very tiny little instructions. But we have pages of instructions, and this is what we do in the classroom. So his thing that he was doing, I'm losing my microphone. So, Olga? Okay, thank you. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I don't want to, it's going to fall while I'm talking to you if she doesn't fix it. So I'm just going to keep talking, make believe she's not there. She's so small, you probably can't see her. So, what? Put my arms up? I could do this. Can't see her. So what he was attempting to do was to get your attention so you would stop placing the power outside of you. And you would stop supplicating who you were to a God that most people at that time didn't like and were afraid of. Like, so how contrary that was. So Holmes, thank you, darling. Holmes created a system. Thank you, much better. Holmes created a system to help us to own and to be in it and to have a direct relationship with God. Spiritual mind treatment is prayer in a format that helps you to have a direct relationship with God. Now, I did an interview for a wedding the other day, and the woman, it's a practicing Catholic marrying a Christian Scientist. Cool, huh? I have no idea how it's going to work. But it's cool. So we talked about, you know, because I always ask people what was their prior religion, what did they come from, what are they bringing to the table. And so it was fascinating to look. And she said that in her church that she grew up in, she was very fortunate to have a priest that didn't convey the message that you had to have a mediator for God. She feels very blessed that she had a priest that helped her to have a direct relationship. Well, if all the priests did that, people wouldn't be flocking away from the Catholic Church. They'd still be there. But the fact is, nowadays, who we are seeking to have a divine direct relationship. None of us really want to be separated out anymore. We just don't. And you see it anywhere, everywhere. You hear it in all the language. And the idea of God or spirit or energy or chi, those conversations are more and more prevalent. So I'm sitting down chatting with the president of the board of my son's lacrosse team. I don't know if I told you this already. And we were chatting about, he was talking about some area where he was in Manhattan, I think, some like kind of nerve-wracking area he was walking through. Wasn't one of the safest areas. This is maybe 30 years ago. And he was saying, though, how he had a karate teacher who taught him how to walk with his head high, how to greet, how to acknowledge, so he wouldn't convey the message that he was afraid, so he wouldn't be threatening in any way. And I said, yeah, it's an energy thing. He says, yeah, it's chi. I thought, oh, that's so cool. Not often do I meet somebody, that I talk to somebody that meets me at that level and comes back that I had no idea that they were in the conversation. But it is happening more and more and more. So when there is anything that you think is happening in your life, some of you might think that genetically you're stuck. Anybody think that you adopted something from a family member genetically? Only one hand went up, but I'm sure there's more. Anybody, you think that just the conditioning of your life has left you with certain things that you're trying to get away from, trying to not identify with? Yes, right? There's just some stuff that's running you. And those are the hard things. Those are the things that often, if you're not paying attention, you really do think you're stuck. You think, well, how can I get away from this? My mother had this, or my sister had this, and my grandmother had this. And so there's a feeling, not only of victimhood, of just like that there's no choice, there's no option. I am here to tell you there's always an option. There's always an option. But it must be a conscious participation on your part. You must consciously create the choice to sever the hold of what was upon you. And that's where the no mercy comes in. That no matter what it is, you have no mercy. You are not at the mercy of it. You are not at the mercy of your genetics. You are not at the mercy of your conditioning. You are not at the mercy that they say that New Jersey is the number one state for allergies. No. Just say that. No. No. No is the answer. No. No. I ain't doing it. I'm not participating. You must stand in your power and say, no, no how, no way, not happening, not me, not now. Now all of a sudden, you've woken something up inside. Now you've started to prepare yourself to not be at the mercy of the collective unconscious. Because you might say, well, I wasn't really thinking about it. However, if something has attached itself to you, even if you weren't thinking about it, it's just possible that in an unconscious time that it snuck in and you didn't catch it to challenge it. Are you with me? So I created this form that we used in class. I've altered it a little bit, and I have a number of these available for you also. So what I'm going to give, when I give these out to you, it says, begin by making a list of things that you want to change in your life. Go for the ones that you really think you're stuck with. Let's get rid of those first. The rest will just disappear. Once you build your power, once you start really getting the momentum of the power of your word, because you're taking responsibility and you're stepping in your power, the little things just kind of happen. Take on the bigger ones. Choose anything, no matter how old or how long it has existed for you. And then this is what you're going to do. So somebody shout out something that you think you're at the mercy of. Give me something.
My vision.
Oh, eye vision. Yeah. Okay, thank you. No, I'm thinking vision, you meant eye vision. Okay, got it. I'm like, what's wrong with that? So this is what this statement says, and we have these copied here for you. Recognizing that there is one power, I surrender into that power and draw from that power in the most conscious way possible. I declare that in the expression of God, there is only divine expression and perfection, and since this is so, I declare I am not now, nor ever have been, at the mercy of my vision. This limited experience cannot exist in the mind, be it conscious or subconscious, is purged. Any memory, story, or identification where this has left its mark, I now consciously uproot it to never be identified with it again. I declare this as so with my full faith and conviction, and free myself to be more fully expressed as the divine entity that my divine birthright. That is mine. Okay? That's a lot of power to face something like that down. That is your job. That is my job. Is that clear? Is that clear? I want to know. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually, for the first time in a long time, I'm going to open the floor for some questions. This is not something we've done in a long time. But I want to know, because I just gave you something that I trained my practitioners for in 4 years, and I put it in 5 minutes. Clearly, we're leaving a few things out. However, for the young people in the room, the under 35 group, the young adult leadership group, they're going to get it right away because they haven't gathered all this stuff. Maria had her hand up. Would you put on the mic, please?
I was going to say that it's very clear.
That was clear?
That was very clear, but it's very hard.
What's hard?
To bring yourself to the level of being so so focused on making that change, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of discipline to get to that point where you can really be the master of that control.
Okay, so I hear you. And I say, it's hard if we say it's hard.
I knew you were gonna say that.
You see, this teaching, let me tell you what's hard. It's just simply remembering to use it. And we've talked about that. I've talked about it on a Sunday. Your biggest job is to remember to apply that which you've heard or taught. Yes, and when do you apply it? And anybody in my class, please give me the right word.
Immediately.
Immediately. See, if you feel something, if like say your body's feeling some discomfort, something's going on, You apply it immediately. Now, if you can't get away from the effects or from this, the symptoms of what you're experiencing, you get help right away. Why? Because there's no shame in asking for help, for God's sake. There's no shame. And the fact is that there are people who have been studying for years to do this. Their job is to know your truth for you. Another question. And then we have one in the back.
Trying to formulate the question in my head.
Okay.
But it's like, okay, so applying that, does that mean it just goes away? Or how do you know?
Okay. Yep. Some things you will, I want you to think of every thought that, think of every thought that it's like, has like an energetic cord. Like a, you know those LED lights? Well, think of that, just like use that as in your imagination. That every thought like has a cord that where that power runs through to the effect. So sometimes with your potent declaration of what you are choosing to have, there are times you literally can go and sever its effect. Now, will it disappear immediately? Some things maybe. However, it depends on how long it's lived in your body. It depends on how long you have been giving it life and you've been colluding with the idea. I mean, you get pregnant, you wait 9 months for a baby. You plant seeds, you wait some time for them to grow. So there is a natural order of things growing and cultivating. Can some things be done immediately? Absolutely. Have I seen it? Absolutely. Anybody has seen immediate prayer response? Yes. Yes, dramatic and immediate stuff. And then if not, so what? You just keep doing it. Stay on it. Because if nothing else, you're now shifting the consciousness that it will carry you more easily through to the next thing. Okay? I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. Sorry? Donna.
Hi. I just wanted to know how do you separate the intellect from the emotions? Because you can, you know, you can say the words and you can intellect, you know, your mind will understand what the words mean, but then, like you said, you're carrying all these emotions that you've accumulated over the years, and how do you either allow those to come out and still maintain the saying? You
know, Got it. Okay. Great question. So, and I mean this with no, I want to say this, that is what we do in the classroom, because some of that takes a lot of study and a lot of practice, However, your entire mind, now I'm not talking about just your brain, I'm talking about the use of your conscious mind. We talk about separate, and it's a psychological thing. They say you use about 7 to 10% of your brain and your thinking, all right? So the rest of it is unconscious. Unfortunately, that's the storehouse of stuff. And so everything that ever was is in the storehouse, and that's where you get tripped up very often. But what happens is that 7 to 10% is your gatekeeper. That is your potent use, the part of you that is fully potent. So in declaring something new, you don't wait. You stay at it. Now, I'm going to say something else, though. People, we're not here to be a bunch of intellects from the neck up. If you're feeling something, you have to express the energy of it. Because unless you acknowledge and express the energy, it will keep at you. It's like when I had gone to Tulsa to see my sister, I needed a day and a half to cry and be sad and to be totally human and just be her sister before I returned to being the practitioner consciousness that I was. So the energy very often does have to be felt, released, so it has no power. But you do not wait. You never wait. You don't wait for that experience. You declare anyway. And if you do nothing else, you declare on a regular basis, and you've heard me say this a lot, I am ready, willing, and able to accept my good and my greater good. If you live inside of that, there'll be a constant opening and opening and opening, and will show up in ways expected and unexpected. I am ready, willing, and able to accept my good and my greater good. Say that. I am ready, willing, and able to accept my good and my greater good. And then you let your relationship with the divine show up through you. You with me? Does that answer your question? So it takes practice. It does take practice, because sometimes if we give too much power to that emotion first, it might cut off our desire to actually go ahead and be conscious. Like, if for those of you who think your emotions are everything, it could distract you, and that is the work that we do. Your emotions are a measuring tool of what was. They are a checking in system, but they are not your power. Your power is here, and your power is in that alignment with God. We have time for one more question, if anybody has another question. Please, Stephen, if you will. Thank you.
Okay, so just example, okay, and I don't want to say it, but celiac in the past, gluten intolerance now. And I go to eat something, and I look around, and I go, I don't even want to say it, but at the same time, I'm afraid to try and find out if I've cleared it. So I don't want to say it, but part of me is kind of saying, I feel like I'm like this all the time around that, which is major because it's my food.
Right, right. So what I think you're asking me is, and you might have this in a different way, is that the thing that you are trying to change really is owning you. You are owned by it, but you're trying not to be owned by it. Right. However, when you are afraid of something, the fact that you don't verbalize it doesn't mean you're not giving it power. The fear of not saying something gives it sometimes even more power. Okay? What I would do is I would find someone who could meet you in this. Someone that you could say your fears to. Or, I mean, you could say it alone, but there's something, you know, the whole thing where two or more are gathered? That's a very beautiful thing. And the whole thing, the whole Catholic practice of confession and purging, there's value to that, not quite the way it was, but there's a value to it. You're not with the punishment on the other end, but if you can go to someone and just release and be seen and be heard, and that energy is just freed, who do you go to? A practitioner level person. Because otherwise, like say you go to your husband, Lori, but he loves you so much and he wants to do it for you and he's practicing this stuff, but he could be affected by it. And then he could go into worry, and that's the last thing you want to do. You don't want to spark his worry. But a practitioner level person or someone who is in that type of, you know, consciousness, that's the person to go to.
And then in that place of consciousness, I'm like, I assume that it's done. Because I'm like, right? So then I need to go and eat that thing to assume that it's done.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying. And so do you hear the question? She's asking, does she just assume that once her work is done, that then she's free to eat whatever? Okay? Just know something. You can't out-demonstrate your consciousness. So those of you, if you're on a medication, do not go home and stop taking your medication after a single prayer. Do not do that. However, if it's something that you can test the waters and you will not be in danger, then I say go ahead, if you're not putting yourself in danger. But be smart, okay? Because if nothing else, see, if when we're on medication, we're adhering to this belief system, which is fine, bless it. If you're taking any medication, bless the medication. Bless the doctor who gave you the medication. Bless your body and how it receives the medication so that spirit infuses the entire experience. Then test the water gently. Don't put yourself in danger. You with me? Okay, please. Well, no, you're going to test it because you want to eat bread. If that's what you bring to it. Yeah. If that's what you bring to it. Right, right. But if that's what you bring to it, yes. However, if there's a shift in your consciousness and you've been doing your work and you know the shift is there, then you'll just be saying, all right, let me see what's going on here. I mean, it doesn't have to say, I'm testing this. It can say, oh, let me see what shift I've made. And then there's an openness and an easiness about it. Okay? Okay. So we have more people here today than I suspected. I have about 65 copies of each of the form. If you've been in class, I ask you not to take them. However, we will have them available to you at the end of the service. Practice praying. Practice praying. It is the thing that transforms your life. And if you can't get to a fully composed prayer, bring it down, pare it down to a potent, an incredibly potent affirmation. Yes? Practice. If nothing else, let's end with this. I am ready, willing, and able to accept my good and my greater good. And so it is. Thank you. Okay. So, as we know into what we've just said, that it is my declaration that makes it so, for spirit reacts. Spirit is simply a reactor. Spirit says yes to good and greater good. So I bless the gift, I bless the giver. And I bless the act of giving, for it is one idea in the mind of God, and it is a good and glorious act. And I know that as we give, we receive, and it is multiplied abundantly and returned to us in all forms, good and very good. So we accept the offerings with great love and gratitude, and we know that this will go forth to multiply and return to all of us abundantly, and so it is.